Welcome to Disruptive Adventism. My name is Caitlin Campbell, and I will be your host for this podcast. This podcast is about discussing the polemical statements and practices that are part of the Adventist fabric, which in turn shape this belief system to be unique and relevant for today's society. Welcome, and thank you for tuning into this episode of Disruptive Adventism. Today I am joined by a special guest, Jose Gonzalez, who's here to talk about a very interesting and important topic. So before we launch into what we're discussing today, Jose, you want to tell us just a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what you like to do?
Sure. Yeah, I'm a mental health counselor. I've been practicing since 2012. I went to Andrews and did my master's in clinical mental health counseling. So I've been counseling since 2012. And I used to work at the university, at the counseling center, but now I'm working with Dr. Hinman here at private practice. And yeah, I enjoy it. I'm finishing up a sexual health certification course through the University of Michigan. So it was really Brad that brought me into the sexual health field. You know, he was doing that before me, and I took a sex therapy class with him and just kind of fell in love with it. It's something that is a... it's an awkward thing to tell people, like, hey, I'm a sex therapist. You know, I always get that, like, interesting look, like, huh, like, if they don't know if I'm joking or something like that. But but part of that, that's part of the reason why I went into it. You know, it's something people don't like to talk about. Mm. And I almost enjoy when there's, like, that awkwardness, because then I can be, you know, an educator towards people or educate them about sexual health or whatever, you know, I can, because there's not many people that are talking about it, you know, so that's just a little bit about me.
Yeah, all right, awesome. And so as you listeners can tell, we're probably going to be talking about sex today. Yeah.
So, disclaimer. No.
Yeah, prepare yourselves. Got that important and yet often a taboo topic that we're going to discuss today. And so, yeah, let's talk about that to start with. Why do you think sex is so taboo to talk about? Just like in general, but then even especially in Christian circles.
Yeah, I think our society paints sex in a interesting way, whether it's in movies or obviously like pornography. It's not necessarily shown in the most healthy way. Mm-hmm. So for example, you see a sex scene on a movie, and the assumption is that they're like throwing each other everywhere, which way possible, and stuff like that, which is not necessarily realistic. So I think that's a big thing. And also I think it's often seen as private, maybe. I wonder if that influences it, especially in the Christian community. You know, something that you do at homes and in your bedroom. So I wonder if that influences it too, where it's not something you talk about in public. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, just kind of how media shapes it and causes to get these odd feels about
Right. And unrealistic.
It is a very private thing. It's very intimate.
Right, definitely. I mean, the issue becomes like, not only maybe it's not something that you talk about in public, but on top of that, couples aren't necessarily talking about it in the most open way either. You know what I mean? So it's just very interesting. You're sharing your life with this person, but then you're not talking about sex, which is the most intimate part of your relationships. It's just interesting how that works out.
Definitely. So as you've talked with people looked at research and that sort of thing, what are some common issues that people tend to have with sex?
It's funny because I was discussing this question with Dr. Hinman, and we laughed, saying that Christians or people surrounding sex struggle with everything about sex. if you can name it, then that's the issue that comes in. You know, it's just interesting. So like, you know, how to have sex. Even, you know, I've been told about issues with newly married people. They don't know how to have sex. So there's like pain involved in sex, for example, or having to see PT or whatever. You know, then there's the unrealistic expectations about sex regarding like pornography. Like you see the things in pornography that aren't realistic. And if you're not educated about sex, or if you don't talk about sex, then that's the education that you're getting. You know, so I see that a lot of people having expectations of what it should be like based on pornography or media or whatever, when it's not actually that way. You know, like, for example, stereotypically, like, men are supposed to want to have sex way more than women, you know, but that's not necessarily the case all the time. So that's definitely an issue. So, and one big one that I think I see in Christians, at least, is the idea that, like, for so long you're told not to have sex, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden you're supposed to, like, switch that around and now it's, like, legal, quote-unquote, you know, to have sex. How do you do that in a healthy way? How do you, if you know, how do you switch that mindset so rapidly?
Hmm.
I mean, that's a big one for yeah. Christians.
So you're told the majority of your life, don't do this,
right.
don't do this.
Exactly.
And then, all right, now you can.
Right.
Now what do I do?
Right, exactly, right. And you're expecting it to be, like, great or something? I mean, that's just, it just doesn't mm-hmm. happen that smoothly often, you know?
Expectations and reality aren't exactly, quite matching up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Definitely, that's a huge one. Mm-hmm. And another thing also that I think both in the Christian context and outside of the Christian context, it's pleasure. Pleasure is definitely something that's not talked about. You mm-hmm. know, I think in some Christian circles, sex is still seen as, like, procreation, or, like, there's not pleasure involved necessarily. And that's I think that's a huge one that we don't talk about, mm-hmm. that sex is pleasurable and it's okay to have sex for pleasure, you know, in your marriage or whatever. But we don't talk about that. It's just crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, rather than just being fruitful and multiplying.
Right,
that's all we're supposed to do, right?
Yeah. That's what sex is supposed to be, you know, even though it's, like, something like 1% of the sex you have is actually, in your lifetime, is actually for procreation or for having babies. Like, it's mm-hmm. like less than 1% or something
wow.
like that. So,
wow.
It doesn't make sense.
So, yeah, if we put so much emphasis on this 1%,
right.
about the 99%.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And I'd imagine what you were saying earlier about suddenly you're supposed to have this switch from mm-hmm. not having sex to, like, all right, now. I imagine that switch in itself is very difficult to make, where you can actually, like, now that this is theoretically available to you, I imagine you're still having, like, these same emotional ties, mm-hmm. these same feelings, like, no, this is wrong, I shouldn't be doing this.
Right, right, exactly, and that's the point. You know, a mindset like that that's been in place for, you know, however many years you were dating, for example, or before you were married, like, that just doesn't switch off. That shame that you feel around surrounding sex, or the apprehension, or, like, this is bad, you know, it doesn't switch over overnight. You know, it's not possible, I don't feel, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Tricky.
Yeah, definitely.
So I wanted to ask you, there's been a lot going on in the media lately talking about the issues surrounding consent.
Mm-hmm.
And I've, you know, this is a hot, hot button issue, hot topic. From you talk to women, you talk to men, and there's mm-hmm. there's strong issues on both sides. I've talked to men who are afraid of mm-hmm. like, oh man, what actually is consent? Mm-hmm. What do I have to do? I have to have, like, some written agreement every single time I want to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your perspective? What do you think is consent? What does it mean to actually give consent? How do you ask mm-hmm. for consent? Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on
yeah,
this?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the broader sense, consent is having control over your body, you know, and not doing something that you don't want to do. You know, that's kind of a broad definition of it. But speaking to the point of with a partner or men's fears or whatever, the thing that I find interesting is that we make it such a big thing, and with all of this thing with talking about sex, with talking to kids about sex, we make it this huge thing, as if it's gonna be a huge conversation. You're gonna sit down with a person and be like, okay, let's hash this out, write this down, you know, which maybe might be helpful for some, but
mm-hmm.
it doesn't have to be that enormous and, like, anxiety provoking or shame based. You know, it can be way smaller than that. So, for example, you know, asking if you want to continue if you're physical with a partner, and asking about wanting to continue, that doesn't have to look like, hey, let's stop what we're doing right now and let's, like, have a 10-minute, 20-minute conversation. You know, it's more nuanced. It can be more subtle than that. You know, asking, is this okay? Does that feel okay? Are you okay with this? You know, it doesn't have to be this huge sit down conversation necessarily. And I think when we view it that way, then of course it's going to seem like difficult or seem big or seem cumbersome or whatever, you know what I mean? Mm. But if it's something that's continually happening, a conversation that's continually going on, then it's not, it shouldn't be that serious or that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. An ongoing, like, progressive conversation.
Right, right. And the same with talking about sex with kids, for example, like, if it's something that you're continually talking about with your kid or continually having that door open, you don't have to worry about the quote-unquote talk. That's going to be huge, you know what I mean? Like, it's just interesting. We make it so much bigger than it, I feel it needs to be. But
yeah, you mentioned...
Not consent necessarily, but that conversation, sorry.
Sexuality. Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. You mentioned the talk.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Of course, we all have, like, ideas that go along with that. Yeah.
Yep. Definitely.
So what positive strategies would you recommend to parents who are raising their kids? Like, talking about sex, we mentioned the talk, but maybe there's a better avenue to take, it sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, I think having a series of talks, I would put it that way better. But I think one of the biggest strategies is just being open to questions. So, you know, whether that's like, hey, if you have any questions about X, Y, Z, I'm here. Just let me know if you have questions. Because often it's not, you're not necessarily going to have the most deep or the right conversation. I'm not sure how to put that, but you're not going to necessarily have that conversation one time or what you're thinking is going to be a deep conversation one time. But if you're open to questions, you know, when your child is concerned about something, then they come to you, then that's going to be a more productive conversation.
Mm.
You know, it may not be when you want it to happen or when you think it's going to happen, like when the talk is going to happen, quote unquote. It may be later on when the kid asks you a question that you're thrown off or something, or like, you know, you're not expecting it. So I think the biggest thing is being open, creating that open environment that they can ask you anything, for sure. Another thing that I was thinking about related to consent, you know, is you're teaching kids consent early on. And that's part of having those sexual conversations, you know, teaching a kid that they're in control of their body or that they don't have to hug someone if they don't want to. Or they don't have to kiss someone that they see once a year if they don't want to. You know, those little things, I think, are important.
Mm, starting at a young age, teaching that self-autonomy.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly. And again, I think the theme that I'm seeing, you know, as I was thinking about this is making it, it's not as big. You don't have to make it as big as it is. You know, it's an important topic, and not to downplay talking about sex. I think it's very important, but it doesn't have to be this huge gesture. Again, if you're doing it consistently, if you're talking about consent consistently when kids are younger, or talking about sex when they're younger, then it shouldn't be that big of a thing because you've already been doing it consistently, you know.
Yeah. So it's important, but the more that we engage with it, the more we address it, the less weighty it feels.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a perfect way. You said it way better than I could.
You said it perfect.
Gave you a lob.
The assist.
Yeah, exactly. That's perfect. And the one thing that came out of thinking about this topic was one way to that was a pretty cool way to put it was, we should be talking about sex with our kids as much as we're talking about the Sabbath with them, or as much as we're talking about clean and unclean meats, for example. I don't know. It's not, those aren't conversations you have one time and then it's done. Then you don't have to talk about it anymore. You know, you're having it ongoing, and something happens during the Sabbath and you're like, hey, and you sit your kid down and talk about whatever that is, you know, or it's just an ongoing thing. So you should be talking about sex as much as you're talking about that.
Mm. To me, that sounds like quite the mental shift. Because in our church, that's a common, like, yeah, we'll talk about the Sabbath. We know our Sabbath well. We know that fourth commandment.
Right.
To talk about sex that much,
right.
That's big.
Yeah.
That's quite a change.
Very different. It's very different. So that means, you know, talking about sex pretty much every Sabbath or almost every Vespers on Friday or almost any Bible study that you have or almost any small group meeting that you have. You know what I mean? Like, if you're putting it in that perspective, like, it's happening a lot if it were happening that much. You know?
And when you say talking about sex, this is, of course, like a broader concept of what we're talking about, right? Like for dating relationships, for actual physical intimacy to, is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's so many more aspects to sex than just intercourse, essentially. I mean, we're talking about intimacy, you're talking about unwanted touch, talking about pleasure, talking about past experiences, past sexual experiences or pornography or whatever. You know, there is so much more than just the act of intercourse.
All right, awesome. So that's kind of from a parental perspective. Now let's take this back a little bit as a church. I know I've had times where I've talked to groups of teenagers and I've said, hey, what have you heard about sex from the church? And they say, don't do it. That's literally all that they'll say they've heard. What do you think, what are some approaches, how we can talk about, how we can engage with sex in and as a church that promotes a healthier perspective and maybe helps head off some of these problems that we mentioned earlier, and ultimately helps us be the people that we're supposed to be?
Right. That's a big question.
All right. Give us all the answers.
I'm going to solve everything. I wish I had that much power. Yeah, I mean, I keep bringing me back to talking about it. It sounds simple, you know, I don't know. But I think, I mean, I understand as an organization, there's, you know, things that you can't say maybe, or things that you say differently because you're an organization. I get that. But I just don't, it's a hard question to answer. I think you're having to base your assumption off of the assumption that people are having sex. Like, you know, like, it's happening, whether you want it to or not. I don't know, you know, and maybe that's blasphemous for me to say, but. So assuming that it's not happening is not helpful, you know, it's not. So whether that's as an organization, as a parent, as a leader in your church, as a youth pastor, whatever the case is, going under the assumption that it's not happening is not helpful, you know. So if you're presenting the talk or sex as an assumption that it is happening, and then here are your choices to mitigate that, whether it's, you know, if you want to be abstinent or safe or whatever, you know, I feel like that's maybe a better way to go about it. It's hard though. I mean, as an organization, at least Adventism, I'm not sure if, I mean, that's a big leap to make for the organization to make the assumption that everyone's having sex right now. You know? But it's not helpful to have the assumption that nobody's having sex.
Because if we work with that assumption that it's not happening, then the reality, if, you know, it is happening, we're not assisting those people who are already engaging.
Right, exactly. You're alienating. You know, I'm not sure what the percentage is, but I'm sure it's a high percentage percentage of people that are engaging in sex. You know,
plus, you know, even within our beliefs, our tenets, if you're married, hopefully you're having sex, right?
So exactly.
So there's a high percentage of people that
exactly right. I mean, and maybe that's the place to start. Which I think there's people that are doing that to some degree. You know, but maybe that's a place to start in married sex, having those conversations or opening up those avenues for people to ask questions, or, you know, trying to destigmatize that part of sexuality in the church. You know, I don't know.
All right, great. So I keep hearing talk. We need to talk about it. We need to bring this to the surface.
A lot more than we are now.
Which is not hard to do.
Right. You'd be surprised, I guess, but... Definitely.
So you are a therapist, and you're working in this field. You get a lot of raised eyebrows at times.
Yeah, definitely.
What is it that you are doing that's helping to bring about positive change for people? Let's hear about you. What are you up to?
I mean, the main thing I do these days is therapy, you know, with whether it's couples, whether it's sexuality things like LGBT issues, whether it's pornography or out of control sexual behavior is the way we put it, actually. But that meaning with sexually explicit material or out of control with partner or with other people, and that includes infidelity. So right now that's kind of the main thing I'm doing is counseling people, couples, individuals, teens, children. But yeah, but I definitely am pushing towards, I think part of my work and the work that needs to be done is the education piece,
mm-hmm.
you know, so whether that's presenting on sexuality or having workshops or whatever, you know, there's not as much of that that needs to happen, you know, and this podcast is kind of a step in that direction, you know, of the education piece. Yeah, so those are kind of the big things that I'm doing, and making people feel uncomfortable. You know, like you said, the eyebrow raise. Because if someone can ask me, like, whoa, what does that mean, you know, or if I can break someone's stigma about, like, for example, sex therapists, sometimes the thought is that sex therapists have sex with their clients, which is weird, but exactly. If I can break that stigma, things like that, you know, mm-hmm. then I'm halfway, you know, I'm doing my job.
Mm-hmm. That's some good myth busting.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely a huge myth.
Okay. Excellent. How about the average person? What can I do? What can the average Seventh-day Adventist church member do?
Yeah.
Average parent, average person. I know we've talked a lot about talk. Mm-hmm. Is there anything mm-hmm. else that you would say?
Yeah.
How we can produce positive change? Yep.
I mean, I think, you know, in the same vein of allowing people to ask questions of you is also asking questions yourself, informing mm-hmm. yourself, you know, whether that's with articles about sex therapy or sex-related articles or, I mean, YouTube videos. There's a lot of sexual education things on there. Books. One of the books I have here that Brad has, like, it's called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures.
Hmm.
And it's a way to talk to kids about pornography and bad pictures, if you will. Yeah, I mean, being informed yourself, I think, is a huge thing, because if you're prepared for the questions that are going to come to you, then that's half the battle, you know,
mm-hmm.
with putting out information, valuable information.
So seeking out information mm-hmm. yourself, seeking good resources, perhaps for helping to educate others, but sounds like also for self-education right. as
definitely.
Well.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, a lot of when I began the program in University of Michigan, a lot of that was breaking my own sexual expectations or sexual milieus or whatever for myself before I can help others, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of that we at times don't even realize we have some of those myths or some of those expectations, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think breaking that for yourself is important.
Mm-hmm. That self-reflection.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right. Awesome. Jose, this has been great. I really appreciate all the conversation, all the talking about sex. This is where it starts, right?
Yep, exactly. And hopefully this podcast will help people talk more about
sex.
That's
right. That's right. So here on Disruptive Adventism, we always, of course, love to give our guests the final words. So any last thoughts you want to leave us with today, Jose?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I focused today a little bit on like parenting, and it's fun. It's just at the forefront of my life right now. I have a 2-year-old and one on the way.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But I think it starts early, you know, and it's never too late though. It's never too late. It's not to say that you haven't started with your child, then you can't, you know, or as an adult later on. I think the biggest thing I would take is the concept of leaning in, you know. So when you're feeling awkward, for example, or when you're feeling anxious, one strategy is to lean into that emotion and to be with it and like feel it and like, okay, what is this emotion telling me? I feel like the same strategy can be used in talking about sex. It's going to be awkward. You're going to feel weird. You're going to feel like, oh, like everyone's looking at me, or I don't really want to talk about this or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you lean into that feeling, if you lean into that awkwardness, the result at the end of the conversation is going to be way better, and you're going to be informing someone, you know, and breaking myths, you know, huge, huge things that are happening.
That was our conversation with Jose Gonzalez on Sex Talk. If you would like to get in touch with Jose for more information, you can go to www.hinmancounselingservices.com. If you would like to get in touch with a sex therapist in your area, you can search through the American Association of Sexuality Educators, Counselors, and Therapists at www.aasect.org.
Thank you for listening today. We appreciate that you have taken the time to listen to our podcast and ask that you share it with others. Please leave a review on iTunes or your favorite podcatching app. If you're enjoying our content, we want to invite you to consider contributing to our cause by becoming a patron, where you will receive exclusive content, have the ability to sit down with the Disruptive Adventism team, and ask relevant questions for Adventism and society. If you're interested in contributing, head to patreon.com/disruptiveadventism. Another avenue for contribution is to purchase our merchandise through Amazon or tpublic.com. You can find the links to our merchandise on our Facebook or Instagram pages. We also hope that our content has intrigued you a little bit and that you decide to stay around for future podcasts. If you have any comments, feedback, or a topic you would like us to discuss, please go to our website at www.disruptiveadventism.org or shoot us an email to disruptiveadventism@gmail.com. We're eager to engage in discussions about any matter, so don't hesitate to contact us. This has been it for today. We hope you join us next time. And as always, we invite you to be disruptive.